Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. First, I'm going to turn off my phone ringer. And so please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair or the sofa. Wherever you sit, please find a way to feel upright and uplifted in your posture, without straining. So we want to be, what is it that I heard someone say the other day? Upright, but not uptight. So sitting up straight and also relaxed. Before we begin, I want to talk about what I think is probably the most common difficulty that people face in their meditation practice, which is being consistent. It's hard. It's hard for everybody, except one person named Michelle, who told me, and I believe her because I know her and I've seen it for myself. She does not have trouble with consistency. So more power to you, Michelle. May our world have many more such Michelles. But for the rest of us, non-Michelles, I want to give you some thoughts about why. Oh, Michelle gave me this bracelet, actually. Why it might be so difficult. And I first thought this thought some years ago. I was at a bookstore doing a book signing for a book I wrote about meditation called Start Here Now. And somebody raised their hand and said, "Why is it so hard for me to be consistent? I know how to meditate. I know it's good for me. When I do it, I'm glad, but I always seem to just blow it off. Is it resistance? Is it laziness? What is it?" And as I opened my mouth to make some suggestions that I'd made before, not to this person, but in general, try to sit in the same place, try to make it a habit that you do at the same time each day, you know, just normal, I think, helpful suggestions. But before I said those things, I was like, wait a minute. I said to myself, 99% of people I've talked to about their meditation practice, which at this point is a lot, have said that they have this problem with being consistent. So that's not possible, that 99% of people who want to meditate lack self-discipline. Just mathematically, I would say unlikely. So if that's not the case, if it's because you're not disciplined, you're lazy, or you have resentment, resistance, I don't think it's any of those things, unlikely. What I think it is related to a Buddhist teaching, a very seminal central Buddhist teaching on what are called the three jewels, these three jewels guide you down the path, not just of meditation, but of your life, I would say. If you ever decide to formally become a Buddhist, or if you have, nobody has to do that. Let me just be very clear about that. But it's called taking refuge, the ceremony by which one becomes a Buddhist. Nobody has to do that. It's called taking refuge, and you take refuge in the three jewels. That's how important they are. They provide the ballast for the entire journey. So further, what I thought in this flash moment was, I think the reason it's so hard to be consistent is because we don't bring all three jewels into our meditation practice, which have nothing to do with Buddhism particularly. So the three jewels are called Buddha, which means awake, not the historic Buddha or a Buddha. Buddha means awake. Dharma, which means path or wisdom or truth. Sangha, which means community. We're in one right now, together. So you know how to sit, or if this is your first time, you will know by the end of this video. So you already have the first jewel, which is a way of connecting with your own mind, which is awake, according to the great masters of every ancient wisdom tradition in the world. You're already awake. You're already whole. You're already worthy. Period. And any notions to the contrary are signs of confusion. So when we sit down to meditate, we're not trying to become a better athlete or a better leader or reduce stress or become even more compassionate, although all those things are certainly possible from the practice. We're trying to see our minds clearly by the following mechanism. You sit, you place your attention on the breath. You think thoughts. You notice when you are absorbed in thought, very helpful, and you let go and you come back. So just feeling your body breathe. We'll go into that in more detail when the practice begins. But in this way, you learn to see how your mind works, which is establishing a closer relationship with Buddha, with awake. Now, I posit to you for your consideration that there is no there's no mind. Although I'm using mine right now to say words to you, so a little confusing. But when I say there's no mind, I don't mean you don't have a mind. I don't have a mind. I mean, it is useful and confounding and impossible to answer, to ask this question, where is my mind? Is it between my ears? Is it invisible, but somewhere? Where is it? Is my nose? Is my finger? Where's my mind? So, what I want to posit to you to go back to that is that it only exists relationally when it has something to become aware of. The awareness itself, according to this wisdom tradition, is what we call mind. But what fills it is not mind, it's thoughts or feelings or sensations that, reflect mind. I promise you right now, I'm going way out there on this talk, y'all. Mind meets something, awareness meets something. Your ideas, a conversation, you stub your toe, and then it takes a shape in response. And then it releases that shape. It only comes to our awareness. It only seems palpable. It's the word I'm looking for, perceivable when it relates to something. I guess what I'm trying to say is your mind is very tofu-like. It absorbs the flavor of what you present to it or what is presented to it. So this is. In meditation, we see how the mind moves. And we see ourselves seeing how the mind moves, which is kind of crazy. Anyway, I'm going to not go on and on about this because A, it's impossible to explain. And B, I just invite you to consider that your mind needs something to relate to and then. It produces thoughts and sensations and so on, but the thoughts and sensations and so on are not your mind. Your mind is more synonymous with this empty space of awareness that is always present beyond concept. So when we sit, I'll give you the instruction as mentioned. And one thing that you could notice is that if you look inside, there is nobody in there talking. It's actually silent. And then you have thoughts and you have thoughts about the thoughts and so on. But the ground is silent and the thoughts come out of the ground. So you could say that this silence, this ground, I invite you to consider. As I invite myself to consider, not understanding it thoroughly at all, is the same thing as the empty field of awareness into which things are dropped or flung or, entered all day and all night. But the mind itself remains pure and open. Don't take my word for that. Investigate. So, first jewel, Buddha, awake. You sit down to meditate. We're not going, hey, I wonder if my mind is pure and empty. You're just doing this technique and watching how your mind moves and bringing it back. Very important. Second jewel, Dharma means path or wisdom, as mentioned. And for us, it doesn't mean Buddha Dharma necessarily, although for me it does. But there are other dharmas, other teachings that I'm very interested in. It means trying to understand your own journey, let's say, and what propels it and what stymies it today. What you see about yourself and your life and the world as your practice takes root, because as it does, your awareness expands, which is the same thing as saying your relationship to this empty space becomes more strong. So you see more because your awareness is comes to the fore rather than your thoughts on good days. So it's important, and this will get back to why it's so hard to be consistent in meditation in a moment, to build in some way of reflecting on your journey. You could read books about Buddhism or meditation. You could read books about any whatever is of interest to you on your spiritual journey. You could journal. You could write about what you notice, not just about your practice, but about yourself as your practice proceeds. Are you becoming more patient or are you becoming more impatient? Are you, what do you notice about yourself that you find new or that you intuit is a result of your practice? Very important. Without that piece, without contemplating, without studying, without reflecting, the very ephemeral and enormous phenomena of Buddha, of awareness, becomes more that much more ephemeral. But when we think about it, not how do I understand empty awareness, but what do I notice about myself that seems to be related to this awareness? They like each other, Buddha and Dharma. They have a great synergy. Sometimes it is said that practicing being awake and studying what it means to be awake are like two wings of a bird. You need both to fly. You only have one, you just go in a circle. So they're both really important. I want to emphasize. And then the third jewel, Sangha, which means community. Y'all, it's the most important. I don't know why. And what this means for us is a sense of I practice with others. Whether I ever see them or not is immaterial, but do I have a sense of practicing and accompanying and being accompanied on a spiritual journey by others? Now, I'll just say I'm a very, very introverted, even though I'm standing here every week talking, I promise. I'm introverted. I don't want to have a lot of, I don't want to be in any groups, although I am. And I don't want to, but I want to be in them in my own way, which means I can participate when I want and I can just be quiet when I want. So, same for you. You participate as works for you. Some people in a sangha, in a community, in the Open Heart Project, we'll say for an example, they show up to everything. It's so wonderful. They think about things. And I know that because they talk about what they have thought and they are interested in the others and they may even reach out to say, hey, if you want to talk about this more, I'm around. In other words, they engage repeatedly. And that is, thank you, if you are one of those people. Now, there are other people who may also show up, but don't engage. Maybe they only watch the videos. Maybe they just listen, but they never turn their video on because all of this is online. I would be one of those people. This is great too. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is you find the way to participate that works for you. But the reason I think that Sangha is so important is because this is where it actually comes to life. Otherwise, we can contemplate mind, we can reflect on our journey. But then when we move into the world and try to relate to other people and have love and disconnects and anger and all sorts of things, then Buddha and Dharma have a chance to come to life in a different way, earthy and grounded. So, back to my original point, you need all three jewels to have a consistent practice. You already have the first one because you know how to meditate. I suggest that you build in some way to contemplate your journey. It could be even for like you write for 1 second after your practice. Today, my practice was blank. Or you read a paragraph from a book that is meaningful to you before you sit, and then you don't think about it or after. You could watch a video by a teacher you like. You could read a book that, speaks to you. Find a way to relate to the journey that you are on with your own wisdom. Find a way to sit with others. Whether they know you're there or not, again, is up to you. But this is one reason why I think if you ever have the good fortune to go on a meditation retreat, whether it's a half a day or 3 weeks, whatever it might be, you don't have any problem with consistency. And it's not just because you paid for it and someone said you should do it. It's because a rhythm arises and it carries you. And the rhythm is constructed of the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. When you're on retreat, you're practicing, you're think contemplating, and you're together. So the Open Heart Project, PS, was created to offer all three jewels. And they're here right now. So if you are in the Open Heart Project Sangha, thank you. If you want to connect more deeply in the Open Heart Project Sangha, but you aren't in it right now, we are offering a free month, starting from when you sign up. Because what the hell? It's very tough time out there. We need our practice. We need each other. We need regular reminders that sanity and decency and goodness and fierceness are possible. Not just possible, but they are real. And when we relate more fully to the three jewels, we find that they are. So there'll be information here somewhere about how to take advantage of this free month. It would be so great to see you there. And if you have any questions, you can just message us. And let's sit together. Please establish your posture by sitting up straight and relaxing. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let yourself feel heavy and rooted from the waist down, and uplifted and light and bright from the waist up, like open, rooted and open. Let your belly soften a lot. I don't know about you, but I often notice, well, I'm really holding that tummy in. Just let it go. Let the shoulders soften. And feel your shoulder blades maybe move towards each other a tiny bit, or imagine that they do. So the shoulders just settle back into their normal position. The mouth is closed. The lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique, just breathing, which you are already quite good at. The eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, given the distance of your screen. And then let there be a sense, rather than seeking through the eyes, looking, that you're receiving through the eyes. And whatever you see sort of comes in and disappears. Comes in and disappears. Oh, it's still there, of course. We want to have a soft gaze and looking somewhat down, not straight down, not at the horizon, but somewhere in between. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, of course. No big deal. They all come and go. By all, I mean 100% of your thoughts come and go. So just let them. While your primary attention is on the breath, thoughts just keep making themselves and disappearing, making themselves and disappearing. And should you disappear along with them, a line of thought, not a thought, meaning you disappeared yourself from your practice, you're no longer aware of your breath at all. At all. That's the only time where you want to intercede. Oh, you notice, you're thinking. Label that moment silently thinking. Let go. Come back and begin again. Feeling the body breathe. And it doesn't matter how often or infrequently even you have to do this. And the amount of fresh starts, new beginnings that you are allowed in any given meditation session is infinite. So you can relax. And we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you. Thank you so much for your practice. It's very important. Thank you for practicing with me, and thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week.